You're listening to the TV Obsessive Channel, presented by TVObsessive.com.
Hello, welcome back to the TV Obsessive Podcast. My name is Ryan Kirksey, writer and contributor, TVObsessive.com. I'm joined once again by Cameron Polyglot Crane. How are you doing, Cameron?
Pretty good.
How many languages do you know?
I've studied, in addition to English, I've studied three other languages.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't claim fluency in any of them. I may have gotten the closest in Spanish, which I took 4 years of in high school. And then after that, never used it. And then I studied French and German, but those were more translation.
Yep.
Was more the goals in grad school for philosophy. I was like, you gotta be able to look at Hegel. Man, they actually gave me Hegel on my translation exam for German.
Oh my gosh.
It was, I'm still stunned that I passed. The second sentence was 10 lines long, and I must have spent an hour and a half on that sentence.
Yeah. You know?
And that was about as far as I got, like maybe one or two sentences beyond that. I don't know if you ever studied German at all, but it's
No, not at all. Not at all.
The way that the order of words works.
Yes.
It's like, all right, you get the verb in second position. In first position, you can put anything you want. Like for emphasis, basically, right?
Yeah.
Anyhow. It's like
we're not going into an immersive language program today, but we are going to dive into episode 3 of Sugar, Shibuya yes. Crossing.
We're going to talk about the third episode of Sugar, which there is a reference there to the polyglot thing, which means speaking many languages, which is people that know that. That was a humorous bit of the episode. But not to get ahead of ourselves, we'll off on spoilers till the latter part of the pod. First, as per usual, talk a bit about what's been in the news this week, what we've been watching, and chat a bit. So it's April 12th. Where do you want to start?
Why don't we start with OJ just for a second. Yeah. OJ Simpson passed away yesterday, and I think there is a TV connection here. I've told people this before, so speaking of different languages, I lived overseas in Belgium from 1993 to 1995.
Oh, okay.
That's when I first studied French, studied it for 5 years, whatever. That's not important to this story. But living overseas in that time, I missed all of this. Right. All of it. Pre-internet, no social media. Right. We got European news. Right. So every once in a while on CNN International, you got some OJ stuff over there. I often think about how I'm really sad that I missed this whole thing. Right.
Yeah,
this was monoculture before monoculture. Right.
You're practically not an American.
Exactly. I didn't experience any of this. I came back in the summer of 1995, like a month before the verdict came down. And so didn't really see any of this whole thing. But this, I mean, this kind of reshaped how we looked at reality TV. I mean, how we looked at sort of our culture in terms of how we are immersed by and consume television. I mean, you had O.J. Simpson, who was a star on screen. You had, I mean, would we know the names Jenner and Kardashian and all these other things that became part of television if not for this trial? I mean, it's just sort of this massive thing that still is influencing us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, in terms of the cultural experience, the first thing is the Bronco chase.
Yes, of course.
Because it took over TV. It was, I think, like the NBA finals were going on, and they put the NBA finals in a little box so that the Bronco chase was on a big box, and it went on for quite a long time.
I'm very familiar with this because the 2 years I lived overseas, we've discussed how I live in Houston. The two years I lived overseas are the 2 years the Rockets won the world championship.
Right.
And so I'm very aware that this interrupted Rockets games to go to the Bronco chase. Game 5, Friday night. This, I mean, the country watched a Bronco chase instead of the finals.
Well, and it was really bizarre because it's a slow speed chase.
Yep.
I mean, basically everyone's seen a movie where there's a car chase. It's like Gone in 60 Seconds or something, like the original Gone in 60 Seconds. You've seen car chases. It's like, went around. And this is just like, it's just like going the speed limit down the highway and, you know, and it goes on and on and on. I don't remember exactly how long it went on. That was the first thing. And then, as you mentioned, it feeding into This was like the beginning of Court TV. Court
Yes.
TV as a cable station started just a little bit before this, and it
Yes.
was this like obscure niche channel that no one watched, right?
Right.
And but oh man, they glommed onto this and just wall-to-wall coverage and just this huge kind of event. And then I remember, whatever year this was, I should have double-checked that. Anyway, being in high school, and when the trial was coming to a conclusion and they were going to announce the verdict, basically, it wasn't like now. We didn't have social media. We didn't have smartphones in our pockets. We didn't have cell phones.
Yep.
My high school English teacher wheeled in the TV on the cart so that
Same.
we could watch the OJ verdict.
Same. I was also in English class, watched the OJ verdict in class. Yep.
I cannot think of another cultural event where something like that happened. Even at the time, I was a little bit surprised by it.
Yeah.
But it was like they knew that we were all going to be buzzing about it to such an extent anyway, they
Yeah.
might as well just lean into it.
I,
So.
we'll never see anything like it. There are plenty of things where you are reactionary, like 9/11, but we'll never see another thing like this again, I don't think.
No, I don't. I mean, in the way it took over everything, and also, I joked about you not being an American, but of course, younger people weren't alive yet, so I guess you can take that pass, still. But for people who didn't experience this, perhaps because they were out of the country or are 20 or younger or what have you, the way it took over everything, and from the beginning, it really felt like, oh, well, he did it. Like,
Yeah.
why is he running from the cops?
Yep.
And but he gets acquitted. You have the famous glove situation. But you also had a large number of people in this country who wanted to see him be acquitted, also tied in that racism on the part of the police, and just this whole thing
Yeah.
where, as a cultural experience, the people who wanted to see him acquitted didn't necessarily think he didn't do it. It
Exactly.
was just
Exactly.
really
And even
fascinating.
to tie it back to another TV event, because of what happened with Rodney King, how that was displayed everywhere, how it made it to local news, made it to national news, made it to international news. Everyone knew about that, which directly fed into the defense strategy of how they got him off on this case,
Yeah,
right?
just a couple years later that the
Yep.
OJ was occurring. Anyhow, focusing on the TV side of it, there's the OJ Made in America documentary, which is quite good.
Very
There are
good.
other things that people can check out along these lines. And if you weren't there, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was a professional football player, quite a good
Yep.
one. He was in
Very.
Hertz commercials. Remember the Hertz commercials?
Oh, yeah. Sprinting through the airport.
The sort of second act, and then he was in Naked Gun movie.
Oh, yeah. You
And
can, if you want to, you can go watch on YouTube every second of the OJ trial. I mean, they have them, YouTube videos, one
oh,
to
really?
138 or whatever, 2 hours each or whatever they are, and you can go watch it all if you want to.
I can't imagine doing that. I
No.
mean, honestly, it was a bit much at the time. Like, it's just the constant coverage, but certainly a big deal. And someone was saying, and I think this is probably right, that this was actually the birth of the news ticker at the bottom of the
Yes.
screen.
I think that's right.
I think that that really, really caught on after 9/11, but because there was such a focus on O.J. Simpson, what was going on, that then like CNN started running other news items across the bottom
Exactly.
because it was the mainstream
Or
media.
when they had to cover other news items, they would run OJ ticker on the bottom of what's going on.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Anyway,
So
just
anyway,
wanted to revisit that.
he died
Yep,
yesterday.
he died.
That
More
had that
modern news. What else is
occurred.
going on?
Let's see. I'll go to how about Heroes? Do you ever watch Heroes?
Well, save the cheerleader, save the world. Yeah.
Yeah, man, great
Not
hook.
I didn't watch the first reboot,
No,
but
I
the
didn't
original
watch
is very
first.
good.
Yeah. And apparently Tim Curry wants to reboot it again. And reading about this, the first Heroes, like the first season, and again, it was a cultural phenomenon as a TV show. This was what, like 2006 or something like that. Second season got disrupted from the writer's strike. I think that had a big effect. You know, I don't know all the
Yeah.
details. One way or another, the show really went downhill and became bad, and I didn't finish it. They rebooted it in like 2015, I think it was. And now he wants to do it again. And here's what I think, right? It seems like the idea once again, although they're calling it a reboot,
Yeah.
is that it will occur in the same world as the original series, chronologically later or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like that, which was the way that the original reboot was described. So I don't know if it's after that or if it's
I think
that's
so.
like, I really have no idea, not having watched the first reboot.
Here's what I think. Start over.
Yeah.
Just start
Reboot
over.
it.
Just like literally actually reboot it. Like you even just take the beginning premise, save the cheerleader, save the world. Just do it again. It's been
Yeah.
almost 20 years, you know. I know obviously the original series has fans, but I don't know if that has enough fans to. It's more, this is more of an attempt at some weird kind of revival sequel kind of thing. Personally, I'd be more interested in an actual reboot than something that was in continuity with the original series. So
Yeah.
that's my bit
Like
of
I
advice.
can't sit here and promise that I will be watching this. It's not even picked up anywhere, I don't think, but it's not high on my list.
Yeah, no. This is one of those things where it's like he wants to do it. He's working
Yeah.
on it. And probably he'll get a shot, you know. I
Yeah.
mean, probably the original Heroes was so popular when it came out. But again, I just think I personally, as a viewer, I would be much more on board with the idea of a new quote unquote from scratch reboot than what this seems like it's going to be. So
Yeah.
we'll
Yeah.
see how it goes.
Oh, what about another thing that's been, well, not rebooted, but renewed? I covered Monarch Legacy of Monsters for the site this past spring, and for someone that enjoys that genre and enjoys that series of movies, it was a good, enjoyable show. It has been renewed for season two, which doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me is that this spin-off show is apparently spinning off other things from
Yeah,
it.
the
I
spin
guess
off
it
the
was
spin off.
popular enough to get more monster content out there when, I thought maybe this show would just about cover it, but nope, we're getting more monsters, more MonsterVerse. We just got a new movie that came out, so this is going to happen in perpetuity, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I think they have a winner and they can spin out
Yeah.
more TV shows and have this whole broader kind of monster verse thing. It's always a wrinkle though, if it connects to films as well.
Yeah,
You've got a
yeah.
difficulty, you
I've not
know.
seen the Godzilla Kong movie that came out a couple of weeks ago. Apparently, there are references to it, but it's like, oh, we got to try to force something in there to make sure that these things connect and they're not separate entities. Again, I've not seen it, but that's what I've heard about the connection to the show.
I just feel like a lot of what Marvel did early on, and maybe this continued, longtime listeners of the program will know that I stopped watching Marvel stuff. But particularly early on, it seemed like they tried to make things fit together by keeping them separate, if that makes sense. Like you got Marvel's Agents of Shield, and then new movie comes out, and like who cares? You know, it's like they have got one little reference to one thing that happened,
Yeah.
and but you watch the movie, and it's like the world's gonna end, you know, and then like it's supposed to be in the same universe. They're like, we didn't notice. Like,
Yeah.
aren't you the super spy agency? Well, we were fighting the smaller villain. We were
Yeah.
busy, you know. So, how
The
you manage that
complicated
kind of
thing
stuff.
about this show, the first season of Monarch, was it decided to go back in time and tell a story in between the Godzilla 2014 movie and the next one that came out, Kong Skull Island, and then Godzilla King of the Monsters. And so it forced this story into this timeline in the past. And sort of smart viewers of the movies realized there was never anything about this in the subsequent movies after this timeline. And so I don't know how they'll revisit that, but some things about it worked, some things about it didn't.
Yeah, you just risk creating certain tensions and things like that. And maybe it's fine. Maybe it's fine. I'm gonna say, speaking of Godzilla, sort
Yep.
of, maybe, kind of. Roland Emmerich,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
who
Good
made the
segue.
bad Godzilla
Yeah.
movie. This new show, I don't know what you think of this or if you watch the trailer, it's a teaser trailer. It really caught my eyes because, well, Roland Emmerich is a pretty big name. Of course, he also did Independence Day and some other really big name things. And starring Anthony Hopkins, Oscar winner Anthony Hopkins, Those About to Die, which appears to be just about people like gladiators fighting and killing each other in ancient Rome.
Yeah, I'll tell you my first impression of this. There is a teaser trailer that's out there that's Anthony Hopkins' voice over, some graphics. There's not really much footage. Anthony Hopkins is 86 years old. How much is he in this show? And how much is he in this show when he's not sitting down? That's what I'm curious to find out. I bet it's not much.
Why is he doing this show?
I have no idea.
Because no offense, it doesn't necessarily look that good.
No,
Like,
the little bit of footage we have, no.
we don't have a lot to work with here. It's just a little teaser trailer. Maybe it will be really good, but it looks more like the kind of thing that might be entertaining more than substantively good, if people will allow me that distinction. And you've got Anthony Hopkins, who's just a renowned actor.
Yep.
So, yeah, I am wondering how much is he actually in it? And is he just doing it for a paycheck, or is there something deeper about this that makes it more interesting than we know yet? Anyway, it caught my attention. This teaser came out. It's supposed to come to Peacock in July, I believe. So
Yes.
relatively soon. Relatively
Yeah,
soon.
and apparently is based off of a very well-regarded nonfiction book of the same name, Those About to Die. So it could be that this has a tremendous audience built in. I'm unfamiliar with how much Emperor Vespasian, who Anthony Hopkins plays, is a part of that story. Who knows?
Yeah, and some of the things I said, it could be about the form of the teaser trailer, which is also something I thought about the other one of these that I have. They released a trailer for Dark Matter coming to Apple TV Plus this next month. This is like May 8th. This has kind of been on my radar, starring Joel Edgerton. This is based on a best-selling book. And to note for people, it has nothing to do with the previously existing science fiction television program, also called Dark Matter.
That this was my question that I had for you. Have you not seen any if this are these related at all?
Has nothing to do with that whatsoever.
Okay.
This is based on the novel by Blake Crouch, who's also a showrunner. And it's been on my radar. I'm not sure if I thought the trailer was great. I don't know. Thoughts about this one?
Yeah, no real familiarity with it. Trailer was just I mean, I like Joel Edgerton actually quite a bit, from all the way back from when he was on The Killing. But even his performance here, not really doing it for me. Can't say it took me and is not gonna let me go.
Yeah, and again, I'm wondering how much is the form of the trailer.
Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly is also in it. The premise seems interesting. They're an alternate reality story,
Yeah.
which maybe we're wearing thin on a little bit as a premise.
Yes.
But it seems, and apologies if it seems like spoilers, this is what they're putting out there in the trailer already, and tagline even. It seems that it's a matter of like some other version of the guy comes to his reality and kidnaps him and then is doing nefarious things and he ends up in the wrong reality or whatever. And I guess that's just kind of the setup. If you watch the trailer, there's buildings falling down and stuff like that. So I don't know what all is going on in this show. It remains on my radar as something that I'm thinking about checking out, though I'd mentioned that there's a trailer out there at this point. And again, I don't know how many fans there are of the Canadian science fiction program Dark Matter from the aughts, but it has nothing to do with that whatsoever. So just to let people know.
Well, one thing not happening, I'd say this was something that I was looking forward to seeing what they were going to do with it. Maybe not necessarily looking forward to seeing how they would do it, but the Jon Snow sequel from Game of Thrones, with all the other stuff that's going on in the Game of Thrones universe, the Jon Snow sequel is dead.
Apparently so.
There's a quote from Kit Harington saying it's on the shelf for now, but he also says that it's going nowhere. So take that as you may. I think that it's basically non-existent at this point.
Here's how I take it, because the most striking thing to me about reading a couple of articles about this is they never had an idea.
Yeah, they did.
They never had an idea that went beyond, how about Jon Snow sequel? You could
Yeah,
theoretically
exactly.
do Jon Snow sequel, like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's no script, there's no outline, there's no notion
Yeah.
of what this was going to be about. That's what I read into, or read, from between the lines of.
Yeah, and I also wonder, Kit Harington, basically him saying, guys, I've held on as long as I could. I just got to move on and do other things. We just can't hold this over me forever. It's time for me to branch out. I mean, he's in the MCU now, for God's sake.
Yeah. I was curious about what they were going to do with that, but I guess I thought maybe they had a little bit more of an idea. And
Yeah, apparently they
it doesn't
had
really sound like
not
they
much of
did.
anything.
And so, given that, and there's no source material to pull on here, probably for the best that they don't do it. I mean,
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, just to say, thoughts and prayers for me. I'm in my Game of Thrones rewatch. I'm now in season 7, so we're past the source material seasons. So we're getting into the dark portion. So just to keep you updated there.
getting into the territory where at one point I accidentally went on Twitter before I'd watched the episode and saw something that was a spoiler that I thought was so ridiculous I didn't realize it was an actual spoiler. Getting into that good stuff. Yeah. Oh, anyhow, what have we been watching lately? Let's start with Curb. We should talk about Curb. Watch the
Yeah,
finale,
we
I
should.
presume.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, we're no geniuses for predicting that he was going to, I mean, not shot for shot or word for word, but basically double down on the Seinfeld finale and go exactly the same path that he did with a slightly different twist on the end.
Yeah, there is a difference, and apologies to anyone listening who hasn't watched it, or I guess spoiler warning, because I think I don't know that we need to refrain. I've seen so much stuff out in the world that's giving it away, and just from looking at headlines and stuff like
Yeah.
that, I don't know how you could avoid sort of knowing what occurs that he goes on trial. I did think the wrinkle was interesting though, where it ends up with him, saying, "Oh, this is what we should have done for the Seinfeld
Yeah.
finale." Because
Yeah.
he gets out on a total technicality, right?
Yeah.
Whereas
Yeah.
the
There was some really great commentary this week about this, great things written about the finale. Our site had something, other sites had something. I saw a really good one that's about how the arguing, the bickering, almost if you watch this whole show, sort of became like white noise, just sort of like comfort thing. You could always go to it and know how consistent and steady it was going to be, and how sad it is to leave it behind. Bringing Jerry Seinfeld back, if nothing more than to just have scenes where they just banter, for nothing to do with the plot, but just banter about bearded ladies, it's just I mean, just phenomenal. I mean, really, just
It
phenomenal.
was good. Maybe my favorite thing though was bringing back the girl who had been like 9 years old or whatever, like
Yeah.
bringing her back 20 years later or
Yeah.
whatever.
I was with Larry in the
Like, who
past
are
3 years.
you?
Yeah, in the past 3 years, I've watched all seasons of Curb, kept trying to catch up. And I looked at that one, like I knew who everyone else was. I thought, oh my God, I have no idea who this is.
They gave us a flashback, which was
Yeah.
that was helpful, but yeah, I mean, it was entertaining, and nothing surprising really about what the
Right.
finale did.
Right.
They
Nor
did
what
put a
I
little bit of,
expected, much surprising, just do it the way he wanted to do it. Yep.
let's see, what else do we have? You want to talk about Fallout? Have you watched Fallout?
I watched episode one of Fallout. I've never played the game. I
Me
have,
neither.
sort of purposefully did not dive into anything about what this game is about, what the show is about. Just knew that we had Goggins, we had McLaughlin, we had sort of a dystopian premise, and man, Walton Goggins as Roy Rogers in the first scene just got me. I mean, so I'll probably watch the rest of the season. I won't say anything about Walton Goggins at the end of the episode, but man, just
I mean, I don't know
it
if
was
it's a
from the
huge
beginning.
spoiler. He's in the trailer as the ghoul. I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, of course, people might not have watched the trailer, I
Yeah.
suppose, but so you're liking it so far?
Yeah, it was a very good first episode. Again, I purposely went in with no notions, no knowledge ahead of time, and just said I want to be sort of surprised not only in the story, but also just pleased by by the characters who are in this. And yeah, very, very good. Very, very good stuff.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. So, somewhat out of character for me, I binged the whole thing.
Oh boy. Okay.
I
No,
watched the whole season
I'm only
already.
one episode
I really, so we're in an odd place in terms of talking about it. I know we also don't want to engage in spoiler talk, too much or anything like that in this portion of
Yeah.
the pod. But yeah, I mean, it was. I basically watched like half of it on Wednesday night and half of it on Thursday. They released it earlier than they were originally saying they
Yeah.
were going to. All at once, and I'll get on top of this. It's kind of into my mind to maybe write something. Byron wrote something for the site just about the first episode.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
yeah.
he's going to do more, so I have this thought, well, maybe if I get through the whole thing, maybe I'll try to write something on the whole season. No previous knowledge either for my part in terms of playing the games.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a lot for the most part. But in terms of, I started thinking about, I don't know, the politics of the show or something. Like
Yeah,
maybe I'll
yeah.
write about that if I can kind of pin down a line. I will say it started to wear on me a little bit. The kind of running thing where they play old timey music from the 50s or whatever while ultra violence
I was
goes
going to
on.
ask you about that. It was a, I thought, very pleasant thing at first. Then it was, well, these all sort of sound the same towards the end. At least this is the first episode. I presume it
Yeah.
lasted all eight. So,
Yeah. So it was wearing out for you by the end of the first episode. Is
yeah.
what, yeah. I don't know if it did quite that quick for me, but it was close. And I don't apology if this is a spoiler. That continues throughout the whole. That's a running kind of stylistic thing about the show that they'll bring in another old-timey song while there's violence going on. And it's one of those things that felt to me like. It stopped feeling effective to me at a certain point. It was fine, but the original kind of impact of the juxtaposition faded, and they just kind of got used to it. And the songs ran together. I almost wonder if they, how much thought they put into what particular song they were using, if that's part of it. I don't know. I presume, though, that that will probably continue being a thing in further seasons.
Sure.
And you mentioned very, very strong indications that season two has already been
Okay.
greenlit. That hasn't been officially announced, but I was reading something where it was about them moving production to California for a tax credit for season two or whatever. It was like, okay, yeah, they're doing it. They're going to do it.
This, it's different product altogether than The Last of Us, but sort of under that same umbrella of. It'll be surprising considering what they've done, how much is invested in it, what kind of audience it has, for there not to be another season of this.
Yeah, and Goggins is great. Ella Purnell is great, both in this show and for me, I know her from Yellow Jackets, but
That's where I was trying to place where I know her from. That's what it is. Yes. Yellow Jacket.
yeah, she was in Yellow Jackets. She was Jackie,
Jackie. Yeah.
in Yellow Jackets. So yeah, we got that going for us. So you watch the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Usual insert usual complaints about the drop it all at once
Have
model, but I did binge watch this one then. For a change.
y'all see, I mean, we can, but we complain about it. We can make it week to week if we want. You just, maybe that's what I'll do with this one.
Yeah, you could do that. But look, one of my complaints always is how long will it be in the cultural conversation? And I feel like by the time we get to next week, it will have meaningfully faded. You won't be seeing people talking about it on
Yeah,
social
that's, I'm
media and
sure that's
stuff
right.
like that,
I'm sure that's right. Well, our show is week to week. And that's a good thing for us. It's time to dive in, I think.
Time to dive into Sugar?
Yes.
All right. So, spoiler warning that on the other side of a brief musical interlude, we're going to dig into Sugar Episode 3, Shibuya Crossing, which came out today. And yeah, again, spoilers on the table through Episode 3. We'll see you on the other side.
Okay, we are back looking at Sugar. Episode 3, Shibuya Crossing. This one written by Mark Prestovich and David Rosen, directed by Fernando Moraes. This episode picks up right where episode 2 left off. Sugar rescues Melanie from Stallings after Stallings busted into Teresa's house. We learn in a conversation after Sugar poses as a parole officer to rescue Melanie that Melanie has been making a habit of helping women get away from their abusive husbands, like Teresa, like Carmen, and Clifford, who we discovered in a dead in a car back in the first episode. Apparently, Olivia, who's the one who's missing, was helping Melanie with these situations. We learned in a flashback that Olivia did, in fact, kill Clifford. Melanie was there to help. But we get a different story from Melanie based on what we hear her say and what we see in the flashback. So Sugar is trying to reconcile those things. Meanwhile, Kenny and Davey are still trying to get some dirt on Sugar. So they enlist the support. They seduce the support from NSA agent Everett, perhaps. Also at the end, Sugar attends the Society of Polyglots party, which really is just a chance for Ruby to check in on what may be a network of spies who may be doing some good or benevolent work around the world. John tells her about Shibuya Crossing in Japan, which is a place he likes to visit. Ruby dismisses most of what he says and what's in his notebook. Then after he leaves, Ruby contacts a Dr. Vickers and is concerned that Sugar is on to Stallings and starts deleting his history. So Ruby is connected to Stallings, connected to something that Sugar is trying to solve. What is that connection? What does it mean? Why are we back on this? As you put in your piece, why are we back on this trope again? A lot of things to dissect here in episode 3. Let's start there.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with the Ruby Stallings thing. Is that what you're saying?
Anywhere you want to go. I have to, again, give you credit. The headline of your piece on the site was episode 3, Shibuya Crossing, a busy intersection. That was wordplay deserves like an award for headline writing.
Thanks. It's almost, it's like almost not wordplay, but I think it was.
Right.
Yeah, Shibuya Crossing. People don't know. I mean, if you watch the episode, you would know because Sugar talks about it, right? It's like the busiest intersection in Tokyo or what have you. But I do think the episode's playing on also a lot of things crossing one another and so on, yep, in terms of the plot movement and all of that kind of thing. So what do you think of the episode compared to last week in terms of your enjoyment?
Mixed, I think, would be a fair way to say it. A lot going on. You know, they're trying to add layers of drama, humor, suspense, I think even some action. As much of the story was trying to do a lot, I think just the entire production was trying to do a lot in this one. I didn't enjoy this episode as much as I did the first two.
Yeah, I agree.
And maybe that's just because it didn't feel like we really went anywhere with the we're trying to solve this missing person's case.
Right. But it is an odd two things to say back to back. A whole lot's going on and nothing really happened.
Yep.
But it was like it's very busy and it didn't really go anywhere, you know?
Yep.
But let's work through it. Maybe we'll appreciate it more as we discuss it. I mean, I didn't hate it or anything like that. It's just kind of like, okay, this episode's there. It's kind of moving pieces around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am curious to see, well, where do we go from here? Probably the biggest question, if we want to jump to it, is the one you mentioned at the end of your summary. What exactly is going on in terms of Ruby calling Dr. Vickers, who we haven't seen? She keeps wanting Sugar to go see him.
Yes.
And maybe up to this point, you were thinking, well, he's just a doctor who's going to check out that shaky arm thing.
Mm-hmm.
More's going on, clearly, with this Dr. Vickers. And there's some connection to Stallings. Like, it's a problem that Sugar is on to Stallings, implying that Stallings is tied up with whatever Ruby and Vickers and the mentioned but unseen Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Are up to in the background. And I don't really know what to do with that. You know, this was something I didn't particularly like, this kind of move of like, oh, the people you thought were the good guys on Sugar's side are actually tied up with the bad guy that was hitting that kind of trope, I don't know about.
And it also seems fairly early and fairly underdeveloped to say Ruby, who's the man in the chair, the woman in the chair, you know, the one who's sort of running things behind the scenes for Sugar is, you know, we just barely have gotten to realize who this character is. And oh, actually, there's a nefarious side where she's trying to cover Stallings' track because Sugar's getting too close.
Right, and then she's like wiping his actual police records, which she just told Sugar she would need more time to get her hands on. Of course, we don't know a ton about Stallings, and we don't know what he's into as a criminal, but I think we do know enough to know that he is a very bad man.
He likes to make hand smoothies.
Yeah, he's going to stick Teresa's hand into a
That.
blender in order to get Melanie to talk before Sugar shows up, you know. In the previous episode, he described Clifford as like his right-hand man. All indications are that Clifford raped and murdered Carmen and was abusive towards her prior to that, and so on and so forth, right? From what Melanie says, she says that she helped Teresa get away from her abusive husband. She and Olivia were trying to help Carmen get away from Clifford, and so on. Olivia goes to check on Carmen, finds that she's dead. No one's there. There's a gun on the counter. And then Clifford comes with a body bag. She shoots him. Not terribly surprising there. That's kind of how I thought this all went. It is curious to me that they didn't call the cops. Melanie says Olivia didn't want to call the cops because she didn't want to bring more scandal to her family. But in the flashback, Olivia seems to be at one point in there saying something about how she's going to call the cops. All right, any thoughts about all that?
And it just seems like, and we reference this later and see this in the episode, that Melanie and Bernie are certainly closer than she's letting on to Sugar. And so there's a sense of, I think that Melanie certainly is the one we're not getting the full story from. We're getting her version of it and how she wants to protect certain things, how she wants to protect whatever kind of relationship she does still have with Bernie.
Yeah.
And so it seems as though, I'm always, I would say, intrigued when we get this, what we see and what we hear things, and then sort of what's the truth. I think what we always have to rely on is what we see is the truth. And so now, what does it mean for, I guess basically, why should we care that Melanie is saying her version of things and might still have a relationship with Bernie? Does that matter? Does she in deep with these people like Stallings, does that impact what Sugar's trying to do?
Yeah, right. And I mean, she says she hasn't seen Olivia since that night. Like, we see her helping Olivia put the body bag in the trunk of her car. Is it true that that's the last time Melanie saw her? Is it true that Melanie doesn't know where Olivia is? Did they discuss more of a plan, like that Olivia was going to just drive her car back and park it in her parking spot at her apartment complex with the body in the trunk and then disappear? That's a weird plan. Another question, what happened to that body? You know, follow up on that, right? Recall Sugar went back in episode two, body's gone, he found a strand of hair. We don't really follow up on that question. Melanie goes to see Bernie and they seem quite chummy. It felt almost romantic, but we don't really go any further with that.
And this is maybe one of my criticisms of this episode, and hopefully not the entire show in general, is that you introduce and are following the path of a fairly intriguing mystery. We've got this granddaughter and daughter of this famous Hollywood producer, famous Hollywood director, and there's an underworld that Sugar's going into to try to uncover what's happened here and to try to find her, and that's a intriguing mystery in of itself. To spend this whole episode then of seeing that background, but then just going straight into this whole mysterious, what is this group of people meeting at Ruby's house? It's like I'm fine introducing layers onto these stories, but I'd prefer to sort of stick with our initial intriguing mystery of how we're going to solve that.
Yeah. In a way, this episode did feel too short to me. I know last week I was kind of
32 minutes or something. Yeah.
It was pretty short, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know last week I was saying I like that. I like short episodes. You got to like do the work. And somehow it almost feels like this one's short because they're like, well, we don't want to go too far in this one. We're
Yep.
holding back. Like on every plot line, it's kind of holding back from whatever the next move is going to be. So, maybe that's fair enough, but maybe that's part of our certain level of dissatisfaction. It feels a bit incomplete. And particularly when you're
Yeah.
releasing the show week to week, it's not as though your normal viewer, as it were, could just go right on to the next episode.
Exactly. Exactly.
If this had been released on a binge model, I would imagine pretty much everyone would just like go ahead and hit play on the next episode. And it's a hard point to hit in terms of what's the difference between something that where you want to do that, but you have to wait a week and it's kind of compelling to have to wait a week. You're going to be thinking about it all week versus this, because I don't think this is quite that.
Yeah,
Honestly,
no.
it's just some
I
stuff
don't.
happens and
I
go
find
ahead.
myself thinking a lot more about what did I just see as opposed to what do I think is coming. And I think that's a flaw if you're going to do this week to week and try to make it part of a conversation.
Yeah. How does this all fit together? And
Yeah.
well, so we've got a couple of other things to dig into. Davey and Kenny, as you mentioned, they've been tasked with looking into sugar. Kenny seduces, or I mean, apparently, they've got a previously established relationship, I think, with this guy Everett, who works the NSA, who looks into sugar. But we don't find a whole lot that's terribly interesting out through that
Yeah.
either.
Yeah. He had a dad. He has a mom. There's one sibling, which we've heard referenced in previous episodes. Mom lives in Flagstaff, Arizona. That's basically it, I think.
Right. So the most interesting things, besides his life being kind of weird,
Yep.
is that they mention he has a sibling. They don't give a name. So we're filling in that it's Jen. They don't actually say that. I don't know if that's anything to read into. They talk about his mother being in Flagstaff, and as the episode ends, Dave and Kenny are going to go to see her.
Right.
But I did want to point this out. It was pretty explicitly said in the premiere episodes that this woman, Helen, is not actually his mother.
That's correct. Yeah, I've completely forgotten that.
Yeah. So he makes some quip like, they think she's my mother or whatever, right? She
Yeah,
sent him a
yeah.
card or letter or whatever. So again, there is a question there, and I am curious about where that goes. I really appreciated the scene where Davey goes to talk to Bernie.
Did you know that these French words that are actually the English words say this in English when you re-engineer the words? Yeah.
French words, which are cognates for English words, right? That's the first step of the joke. It's like it's like it's straightforward. And then, do you know what polyglot means? And oh, look, fair enough. Not everyone knows what polyglot means. I'm not, saying I expect your average everyday person to be familiar with the word polyglot, but it's
Yeah.
not deep investigation to use a dictionary.
No,
Any kind
no.
of acts like it is.
Dad, look what I found out. Look where
Yeah.
good. Oh,
So.
baby. And we get some, I don't know, confirmation, but I mean, it's one more step towards confirmation. We got Anna Gunn for about 3 seconds in this episode,
Yep.
not very much, but she's talking, her character Margit is talking to Bernie. They're talking about Davey, and he's gotten himself into some trouble. And she said something to the effect of, tell me who it is.
Yeah, I'll make
Buy
sure
her
she
off.
doesn't talk.
Yeah, make sure she doesn't talk, buy her off, and make sure we don't hear from her again. So that's just confirmation that Davey's gotten him into some pretty bad stuff.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. But then, back to something you kind of asked before, what is the interest that Bernie and the rest of the family has in stonewalling sugar? Is it just that they don't want him kind of kicking up dirt about the family in general?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, does Melanie share that interest, perhaps?
I think that that's got to be a connection somewhere, that she is tied into the family somehow, tied into some business, some dealing, something that they've done. That's what she, some of the things that she's hiding. That's why she still has the relationship. And that's why she can't or won't sort of give all the details to Sugar, even though she's feeling some connection to him, but won't give him everything.
Right. And then so maybe she convinced Olivia not to call the cops.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then again, yeah, maybe she knows more about what's going on with Olivia now than she's letting on. But I mean, the thing is, okay, so in terms of dirt around the Siegel family, we know about Davy's sexual misconduct.
Yes.
Presumably, that's what it is. It has never been said explicitly, that explicitly.
Correct.
But yeah, it sounds like it. Is that it? No, I don't think that's it. There's got to be
Yeah.
other stuff.
There
Got to be
has
other
to be
stuff.
something else. I mean, that wouldn't necessarily predicate Olivia leaving unless she found out that I may not have threatened to uncover something, tell something. I just, it doesn't connect to that for me.
That doesn't connect, and also just the worries about Sugar, opening up closets with skeletons in them, or however we might put it. I mean, the stuff with Davy, as unfortunate as it is, that's the kind of thing that in the real world is often kind of known.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, but they didn't actually get in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Or there was no actual lawsuit or whatever, right? And they want to avoid that actual kind of legal trouble where it kicks up dust as a scandal. But often that's kind of known, and you could presume that there are rumors out there
Yeah.
about this kind of stuff in the public consciousness already.
Yeah.
If, as Margit says, right, if the victims aren't going to pursue legal action
Yeah.
with that kind of thing, nothing happens. It's the kind of case legally, to my understanding, where basically the victim
Correct.
has to be willing to press charges and so on and so forth, right? So there's got to be more than that. What is it? Kind of left with that big question. We're left with a lot
Yeah.
of big questions.
A lot of big question. And if you don't mind me going this way, a lot of another big question I have is, who are these people that are at Ru Ruby's?
Yeah, no,
I
let's go
mean,
there.
are these benevolent spies, or these people that have, used to sell insurance and now they're multilingual, just sort of, investigators, spy, what are they? What do they do? Why does Ruby have this like typewriter that she enters in information? It just a lot of wild things happening there.
It definitely seems implied that they're involved as a group in some kind of collective project that's not missing person cases.
Yeah.
Not just like we're a private investigator collective or
Right,
something. Some of the
exactly.
things that are said, it just doesn't fit. This guy, Henry, Sugar talks to at the party, he's like an anthropologist.
Yeah. But also not sleeping well, and so why, what's the connection there? Why, what do their jobs, various jobs have to do with that? And it doesn't sound like they're both private investigators, so
Right, because Sugar's not sleeping well. He's
yep.
sure to mention to us he's having nightmares and stuff
Yeah.
like that. Yeah, just what's going on? It's more, we get a
Yeah.
question. They speak a
Yeah.
whole bunch of languages. Why? I mean, maybe it's something like what you said about a group of benevolent spies, but
Yeah.
that's like Davy's theory, and Bernie laughs at him about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we're just not given much more to work with. As you say, then the point of the party almost seems to be in the debriefing.
Yeah.
I guess each of them is going to do this. We only see Sugar do it, but Henry asks him something like, "Have you gone yet?" Like each
Yeah.
of them, it implying each of them are going to do it. He's got a notebook. Ruby gives him grief because the notebook's supposed to be an objective account of interpersonal experiences or something. Okay. But instead, he's been musing about Shibuya Crossing and how UFO is an underrated rock band and So it's very subjective. But if we presume, maybe that's the path to go down. If we presume it's supposed to be that kind of objective account, any ideas here at all about what might be going on? As you noted, she ends the episode entering it on a,
Yeah,
typing it up.
I think this must. We've talked about how even headlines when before the show came out talked about big twist coming. I think this must have to do with that. You know, if we wanted to, we could speculate on what those things might be, but there's something wild coming, and it's got to relate to this. Of these are, well, we can do that in a minute, but there's something not entirely on the straight and narrow with all the people in this room, all the people at this party, right? There's something amiss about each one of them, something that's wrong, something that they're trying to overcome. And if Sugar is a representative of that group, just being able to, he just wants to sit at a busy intersection and record his feelings. He wants to record his thoughts on different rock bands. I won't speculate yet. Maybe we can do that, but it's something to do with that, I feel.
Has to be something to do with that. Are
Yeah.
you suggesting that perhaps a society is like some really bizarre form of therapy?
I'm suggesting that the group of people might actually be humans. That's one of my theories.
What is it? What do you mean? Might
That
actually be humans?
these are, they're supposed to record things in a notebook to try to express feelings and thoughts like they were humans, that they are experiencing things, you know, with their health and with their vision and with their rhythm, supposed to have like sleep that are all off, and something is needs they need help get them back on track. That Ruby is communicating with some group of people that or some organization or group that is responsible for this group, and that they are not at all what they think they are. Because
So you think they might be extraterrestrials, or are you thinking more like androids?
I could be convinced of either at this point.
Yeah, that's interesting. So let's follow this up.
I've seen people speculate that these are werewolves. I mean, that's we're talking wild theories right
Oh, I've seen
now.
that too, because he like keeps looking at the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so note to everyone listening, we have not watched Beyond Episode 3. Neither of us
We have
have. We
not.
haven't read, I haven't even read these reviews.
Nope.
We know there's a twist coming because apparently the world decided it wasn't a spoiler to put that in the headline of preseason reviews. All right, so okay, we can work with this. So maybe they are aliens or androids or werewolves, and they're being trying to be acclimated to human life for some reason. Sugar's also an investigator.
They've been given normal jobs. Maybe they have enhanced abilities to do certain things.
Maybe it almost fits better with the werewolf thing, like maybe he was already a PI and then became a werewolf. Dr. Vickers, whoever he is related to this in some way. And then Stallings, well, is also related to this in some way.
No idea. That can't circle that square yet.
We can't square that circle.
I
I
have
almost
no
had
idea.
a wild speculation. Sometimes I hit on this, like, what if it's this crazy? Crazy line of nonsense,
I just so scrolling Twitter late one night, the other night, ran across a TV critic who had assuredly been at the whole thing, you know, had access to, had been at the whole thing. And so their tweet was, "Has anybody seen this whole thing? We have to discuss this right now," all capital letters. And so when you see something like that, you say, okay, something really crazy is coming. But so I think, what could the crazy thing be? Just looking for clues. I mean, I'm probably completely off base here, but it just there's something about this people that connects them, or this group of whatever they are that connects them. And I don't know, they just don't seem altogether there in a lot of ways. Again, if Sugar is representative of that group.
Yeah, that there's more that connects them than an appreciation of many languages.
Yes.
Yeah. Sugar feels he has to go to the party. Doesn't
Yes,
necessarily
he
want to go to
does.
the party, right? He shows up, mingles a little bit. does the debriefing, leaves. And that's about where this leaves us. I don't
Yeah.
know. Is there anything we haven't hit on we should talk
No, it just
about?
leaves us with a lot of questions. I mean, I think that's sort of the theme of this episode. Many things raised, very few answered.
One more thing, going back to what we were talking about before, which maybe I almost already said, but whatever the connection between Ruby and Vickers and then Stallings, maybe the worry is that Sugar, through his investigation into Olivia, is going to find out what the deal is with this polyglot society. Like maybe he doesn't know. And he's at risk of finding out that thing that's ultimately going to be the big twist, right? So like the way we proceed is he does find out, oh no, I'm a werewolf, something like that.
I think that's always the more interesting angle of that story is the alien slash android slash creature doesn't know that they are that thing, and they're trying to assimilate those things with amongst these other group of people. And how will they find out? Will they find out? I mean, that's an angle we've seen before. Who knows if we're going there?
Cool. Yeah, well,
Anyway,
looking
we'll
forward
see.
to
Five more
it.
go.
Yeah, we'll work through the rest of the season here. And I guess that about does it for this time. So we'll be back next week talking about Sugar Episode 4, titled is Starry Eyed. Well, in the meantime, you can read my recap here of Episode 3. Follow the site on social media, TV Obsessive. Check out TVObsessive.com. Read other stuff on there. And please do. If you enjoyed the podcast, consider leaving us a good rating and review. We're on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Press that thumbs up, what have you, and we'll see you next week.
All right, so looking forward to it. See you then.